And we're back. I'm Gary Goldman. I'm the host of the Five Star Food Show. So excited to be here at Gray, Gray & Gray, the fabulous accounting firm in Canton, Massachusetts, being joined by one of the partners there, Mark. Thank you so much for co-hosting with me.
Oh, absolutely, Gary. It's a pleasure.
And today, she is joining us, Tracy Noonan, who owns Wicked Good Cupcakes, an award-winning cupcake company that she's grown exponentially over the years, and she's going to shed a little light on her business and why it is successful. Welcome, Tracy.
Oh, thank you, Gary. Thank you for having me today.
Great to have you here. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your business, how it got started? You started with your daughter, I guess, way back when, right?
Yes. So our business started really as a hobby. We had no real intention of becoming a business. My daughter Danny was the daughter I started the business with. She was my youngest, and she was moving out of the house, and I was about to have an empty nest. So I was a little distressed by that, and I wanted to make sure I stayed in touch with her. At the time, we didn't know this, but Danny was having a difficult period, and we found out that she actually had bipolar depression later on down the road. So I was a little concerned about her leaving home, being on her own. So I asked her if she would take a cake decorating class with me, just so I could see her once a week. And she agreed. I'm not sure how willingly, but she did agree. And we met once a week. We took this class, and we actually enjoyed it and started posting what we were creating online just to show friends and family. And we actually started to get some orders, and that was kind of exciting. So,
and you didn't have a retail outlet at this
point? No, this was just all from the house at this point in time. So what happened was, just to speed the story up a little bit, it grew so much that we had to make the decision, you know, are we going to keep this a hobby and rein it in a little bit, or are we going to go for it and actually make a business out of it? We had reached a point where we were starting to get some corporate orders, and remember, in our home, we could only bake 2 dozen cupcakes at a time, and we were getting orders for 400, 600, so there were all-nighters to be pulled. And it really,
why was this so successful? What do you think the magic touch was?
I think for us, it was word of mouth. Quite honestly, we had a good product. All our recipes were my family recipes. Everything was homemade. People liked the story, a mother and daughter working together, and it sort of just organically grew.
And how did you market it and eventually get to be on Shark Tank? How did that whole process start?
So once we made the decision that we were going to do this, we had no money, of course. So my husband loaned us $30,000 out of his 401k and said, this is it, sink or swim. I'm not going to put us at risk for you two deciding you want to have a business. And we did all of the work. We got this raw space in Cohasset, built it out, bought our provisions, and hired people on occasion with $30,000 to start. So we had to be very frugal and learn quickly how to manage money. And then the reason we started actually putting our cupcakes into mason jars was my husband owned a tech company at the time, and he built a website for us. So as people Googled cupcakes and shipping cupcakes, we would appear, and people would ask us to ship, and we needed to find a way to ship our product that would keep them fresh and intact. So that's when we came up with the idea of canning, mm-hmm. or putting them in mason jars, and that's what we did. We had the TSA confiscate us like 3 weeks into doing this business at an airport in Nevada. And so we got a lot of national play from that, because here we are, this mother and daughter duo who are now deemed a national security threat. Mm-hmm. And the news just ran with it. So that kind of gave us...
So that put you on the map initially.
Absolutely. And then...
Then somebody from Shark Tank contacted you, or did you reach out to them?
No, what happened was, I love the show. So that was... The TSA incident was end of December, beginning of January. Valentine's Day came up. We saw repeat orders, so we had a little bit of proof of concept. So I applied online. I don't even know if they have online applications anymore, but I applied online to Shark Tank, and casting reached out 2 days later, and we went through the whole process, which is a bit daunting, of filling out applications and non-disclosures and $5 million NDAs and all kinds of stuff. So But it was worth it.
So you're on the show, and how did the whole thing play out, and how has it impacted your business, and what happened after that?
Sure. So we were on the show. What people actually saw was 8 minutes of what was an hour in front of the Sharks. So it was pretty grueling mentally because you really had to keep it together and know your numbers. And, you know, you're thinking to yourself, okay, this is going to be on TV. I don't want to make a stupid face. I don't want editing to have a field day with us. We have to sound reasonably intelligent. So it was fairly stressful. Kevin O'Leary made the investment in us. He didn't want any equity. So what we settled for was a royalty agreement. He gave us $75,000, and in return, we paid him back $1 a jar until all $75,000 was paid back. That took us 6 weeks. And then ever since then, we have paid him 45 cents a jar. And up to date, we've paid him almost $600,000. So,
wow. So it was a win-win for everybody.
For everybody. Absolutely. He actually confided in me one time. I asked him honestly what he thought of the deal. And he said he thought he'd be lucky if he saw his $75,000. So I'm pretty happy that we were able to prove that we were actually a legitimate company to invest in.
Mark?
No, you know, so you, what an amazing story.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, no, seriously, amazing story. So you talked about starting out, turning to your husband and taking $30,000 out of a 401k and getting going. So when you look at, as your business has grown now over the years, from a financial point of view, what would you consider your number one challenge to be?
Making sure that every penny spent was painful. And not just spending stupid money, because what happens to a lot of small businesses, and it almost happened to my daughter and I a few months in, is it's not the big expenditures, it's the little tiny ones that add up. So death by 1,000 cuts, right? If you're not mindful of what you're spending, you are going to run out of runway. And for us, $30,000 is nothing to start a business with. So we had to be extra careful.
How do you deal with, like, when some of your the products you use, like sugar and vanilla, for example, in a lot of your recipes go through the roof as far as the price or whatever? How do you deal with that?
That's a really good question. So a cupcake is a commodity, right? And people have a certain expectation of what they're going to pay as a premium for a cupcake. Here's a perfect example. Vanilla extract, we use very good Madagascar bourbon vanilla extract, has gone from, I can't even remember what it was a gallon, to like $200 a gallon.
Yeah, it's through the roof.
It's just stupid expensive. And we really can't put that on the backs of our consumers, because no one's going to pay $20 for a cupcake. So you have to find other ways of being creative and cutting your costs in other places. And I think we've been very successful and very smart in how we've handled that. We just recently built out a 21,000 square foot facility in Hanover. We moved from our 1,300 square foot facility in Cohasset to Hanover. And now we're able to buy our packaging in much greater bulk, jars. We've bought, you know, a million at least.
Now you've gone international, right?
We're looking to license internationally. Okay. We have a couple things in the works right now. Right. But what we are working on nationally is we are starting to franchise.
Okay.
So we've been working with a franchise development company, and they've been helping us. It's a very litigious business, as you know, and it varies state to state. So we've been working with a company that specializes in this. And we have some interested parties who are reading all the proposals right now. So hopefully by the beginning of next year, we'll have some cupcake trucks on the road and we'll be able to successfully launch our franchise.
And what's your role? Are you still the baker? Are you the marketer? Are you the organizer? What role are you in the company? And is your daughter still involved in the company at this point? And what do you see the future for everybody involved?
That's a great question. So, yes, Danny is still involved, and I've actually hired my husband since. He left his startup 3 years ago. And he really, I have to say, thank God for him, because Danny and I just don't have, it's not in our wheelhouse to grow a business. So my husband is our CFO. He's our CTO. He handles supply chain command, website. He just does a lot of everything. Danny handles a lot of the day-to-day at our Hanover location. She is also responsible for all the shipping, so she deals with all the packages that go out. She deals with UPS. She also has created a phenomenal APO plan, so we're able to ship to our servicemen and women overseas thanks to her. And it's been very successful, and I can't tell you the emotions we feel when we get pictures or emails from people who have received product and are so happy to have that little bit of home when they're so very far away from family. So kudos to her for handling all of that. My role is more new product development. I work on the social media end of things. I dabble in some marketing. We haven't been especially great with marketing because we've been very lucky. We've had a lot of television for free, and that's just something that we could never afford. And every time we air, we just hit this crazy spike. So we've been very fortunate that we haven't really had to do much in the line of paying for any advertising. That will change, but for now, we've been very fortunate.
What about as far as getting help? How do you go about doing that? Because that's one of the big challenges in the food and restaurant industry today. How do you go about doing that?
Yeah. Actually, if anyone's looking for a job, we are hiring right now. WickedGoodCupcakes.com or Melissa at WickedGoodCupcakes, Peter at WickedGoodCupcakes.com. We go to a lot of the schools and post, obviously Johnson & Wales. Unfortunately, Le Cordon Bleu is no longer in existence. That was too bad because we had some great interns from there. Was it Southern New Hampshire University? They have a great program, culinary program. Really, what we look for is not so much that you have all this crazy experience as much as you can be reliable, have dependable transportation, and work as a team player. None of us are above taking out the trash, washing dishes, sweeping. I'm one of the owners of the company, and if I can do that, I feel like everyone should be able to chip in and jump in where help is needed.
So you talk about franchising, which is an exciting thing. Mm-hmm. Anybody that takes a business from start to the point where we potentially can franchise is very, very exciting. But the biggest challenge with that, and having franchise experience myself working with so many franchisees, is protection of the brand.
Right.
You know, because the brand is what really is the success story
right
now. And you know, as you begin to think about franchising, you know, it's how do you protect that brand?
So we are very, very protective of our brand. One of the reasons that we built out such a large space was not only for redundancy purposes, we have another commercial kitchen in Pennsylvania. But also, I'm a control freak. This was started in our kitchen, and we, no matter how big we grow or how far-reaching our business is, it's important to us that the quality that people have come to know and expect from us remains the same. So we searched long and hard to find a co-producer, and the gentleman that we have in Pennsylvania who does a lot of our work, he's a French national. He's just a culinary genius, and he's a small family-run business. So he's very dedicated to us and gets the brand and understands the brand. As far as the franchisees are concerned, we will be baking all the product and shipping frozen. All they will require is the truck and freezer space.
And you've that tested way, this concept out, and it works fine with a frozen
yes.
product?
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Cake freezes beautifully. Mm-hmm. It's one of the fortunate parts of what we do mm-hmm. because we have a perishable product and a shorter shelf life. Mm-hmm. Being able to freeze a product and have it remain fresh is so important. So that's how the product will be shipped and to the franchisees, and then we'll keep a log as will they, and we'll know dates and about approximately how much they should go through. We're basing everything on our Faneuil Hall model. We have one retail location. It's in Faneuil Hall in Boston, and we know what we do for business there.
Been there often.
Oh, awesome. We love being in the rotunda now. That's great.
Well, we've been talking with Tracy Noonan. Thank you so much for being with us. If somebody wanted to contact you, how'd they go about doing that, Tracy?
They can just go right to the website, and it's info@wickedgoodcupcakes.com, or they can always email me personally. It's Tracy with an E-Y at wickedgoodcupcakes.com.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank
Mark,
you.
Thank you so much for co-hosting. That's Mark Kashgagian from Gray, fabulous accounting firm.
Yeah, this was great, and what a great story.
Thank you.
Congratulations, and wish you continued success.
Thank you.
I'm Gary Goldman. I'm the host of the 5-Star Food Show. Now a word from our sponsors.